This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at First Baptist Church of Algiers in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the Old Trailblazer broadcast originates. Also, the Voice of Truth goes out from here every Sunday morning across this nation on about 45 radio stations, along with the Trailblazer Monday through Friday. And we're happy to have you folks with us, happy to be in your homes there, your car, your wherever you are, in your penthouse, and maybe your airplane or your boat out there on the lake. But we're happy to have you with us. We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been there quite some time now. We still have many studies to go. And we're looking there in the ninth chapter of Revelation. We were there in our last study. And we're going back and reviewing just a little bit how those things took place in the tribulation period. We see here in the ninth chapter where the Lord loosed 200 million horses of hell. Now, folks make fun of that. But listen, they went forth spitting smoke and fire and brimstone from their mouths. I don't have any trouble believing this, because when I turn to God's Word, to 2 Kings chapter 2, I find that Elisha was carried to heaven in a chariot of fire drawn by horses. Then when I turn to 2 Kings 6, I see there the mountains around the city of Dothan were full of horses and chariots of fire. Then when I turn to the 19th chapter of Revelation, I see that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back to this earth with his bride to take over the kingdoms of this world, will bring with him the armies of heaven riding on white horses. Those things are not hard for me to believe. First of all, because I believe God's Word. And I often make this statement here. This is God's Word that I hold in my hand. It's true. It's true whether you believe it or not. And we often say, believe it and be saved, disbelieve it, and go out into eternity lost. Listen now, he will loose, the scripture says he will loose 200 million infernal horses out of the pit, which will kill one third of all the population of the world with smoke and fire and brimstone. I have no trouble believing that. How God will do it, I don't know. But he says he will. This army of infernal horsemen will be invisible to the human eye, and the inhabitants of the earth will have no protection from them and cannot prepare for the attack. They will destroy one-third of men. The earth will almost be depopulated before Christ comes to set up his kingdom on the earth. Isaiah prophesied of this in the 24th chapter, in the verse 3 through 6. And the land shall be utterly emptied, utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. And therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. You may say, won't that be terrible? What an awful scourge. What terrible judgment. But my friend, learn one thing now, will you? That our God is not only a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace, but he's a God of wrath and a God of vengeance and a God of judgment. If you've never learned that God is a God of justice and have come to know the wrath of God, you know nothing of the love of God. I hear folks all over this country, people write me, oh, God is too good to send anybody to hell. Well, my friend, God doesn't send you to hell. He just lets you go there. If he leaves you alone, that's where you'll go. Did you know that? Well, you'd put that down in your pipe and smoke it. If the Lord leaves you alone, you say, well, old Trailblazer, you don't know what you're talking about. But let me tell you, I do. I do. Man is born into this world sinful. There's none righteous, no, not one. Man doesn't care for God, doesn't care for the things of God. He may be affluent, he may be poor as a Job's turkey, as they say. But if the Lord never touches that heart, the scripture says, no man will come unto the Son except the Father draw him. Now I think myself, personally, that we ought to hammer that verse home to hearts week after week after week after week. No man can come to the Son except the Father draw him. And yet we have Protestant ministers all over this nation of ours get up in their pulpit on Sunday morning and give an invitation for some old reprobate, some old whoremonger, someone who's never been even touched by the gospel, to get up and come down to the front and make a decision for Jesus, give the preacher their hand, and now they've gone so far as to take our what used to be our good sound periodicals where we got messages, written messages by the old preachers of the world. Some of the publishing houses print those messages, and now the editor has the audacity to stop at the end of that message by John Newton or John Warburton or John Calvin or Charles H. Spurgeon or somebody or someone. At the end of his message, they have the audacity to take a little excerpt there and say, "Sinner, are you saved? Do you want to be saved? Pray this prayer." And they have a little typewritten prayer. "Jesus, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. Amen." And they say, "Now, brother, you saved." Now, my friend, that's the furthest thing from salvation it ever was. That's a lie out of hell. But our country is bombarded with those things. Not only are we bombarded with homosexuals and lesbian pastors and preachers and laymen, all of those things, which is a terrible thing we all know about, and we often get into those things, but we're also bombarded with error that man can make a decision for Jesus on his own. Shake the preacher's hand, get up off the bar stool and give a preacher his hand. We have preachers now going into bar rooms at night, late night, smoke filled, with the jukebox going, and they go from patron to patron, patron to patron, asking them, do they want to be saved? And in their drunken stupor, they say, "Well, sure, I want to be saved." And they say, "Give me your hand and pray this prayer with me." My friend, listen, hell won't be hot enough. Hell won't be hot enough. God is angry with the wicked every day, my friend. Listen, wake up. Wake up there. Wake up, my friend. And listen. God is angry with the wicked every day, and God hates sin, my friend. Now let's notice these words there in the 20th verse of the 9th chapter of Revelation. This is God's word. "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works, of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, demons, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, and neither can see nor hear nor walk." Which can neither see, hear, nor walk. My friend, you see what it said? They repented not. They repented not. That's what we have today. Men know nothing of repentance. The Bible says, John the Baptist speaking says, "Except ye repent." You say, well, he was an old fool. Old John the Baptist was an old fool. Walked around eating honey and locust honey and grasshoppers and had on a leathern girdle and all those things. No, he was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. He was a forerunner of Christ. And then if you won't have his word, turn over there to Luke 13, chapter 13 and verse 3 and then verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, do you honor his word? Do you believe the words of Christ? He said, "Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." It would seem on the surface now that when men see their fellow men all around them dying the most horrible death, being affected by unseen forces, that they would be constrained to flee to Christ and beg for mercy. But that's not so, men. That's not so, my folks. I have conducted funerals all over this nation. I have seen young people weep and wail and mourn because mama or papa went out into eternity at an early age. And I've seen them cry and beg and all of those things and weep and mourn. Oh, and call on Jesus and listen. And when we walked away from the tent out there in the graveyard, they lit up a smokestack. Looked like a smokestack. Lighten up. And I've actually seen them head to the bar room. But just a minute before, they were weeping and wailing. Men will not, my friend. No, those things do not bring on. But instead of softening their hearts, these judgments will harden their heart, as they did the heart of Pharaoh. They became defiant under the hand of God. This is a truth that we need to learn. Sovereign. God is sovereign. And repentance, heartfelt repentance, which leads to salvation in Christ, is a gift of God, my friend. Salvation is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. Here we see that repentance is gone out of the earth, and the devil has taken over. Satan now is in charge, And I tell folks, the Antichrist is not here now, but his spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is being sought quietly removed from this earth of ours. Do you know any church where there's a work of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I know we have much of this charismatic things that's taking place today, and they call that the work of the Spirit, but it's not. That's all of Satan, and I defy anybody to dispute it. No, my friend, you asked one of those charismatic fellows what his hope is. What is his hope? Is it Christ? Is it that Christ died? No. His hope is that he spoke in tongues. He prayed through. He got the revelation. He had a new revelation. He got something, my friend. But salvation is trust in the Lord. There's not that outward manifestation. No. That's all of Satan. And our preachers are lapping it up and heaping it up and drawing crowds and collecting big money, building silver cathedrals and building big condos in the mountain off of some poor old fool who thinks they're preaching the truth, my friend. Now, I can tell you up front, those things are not the manifestations of grace. No, sir, my friend. Those who live through these awful plagues continue to worship demons and idols. Also, we see that the ungodliness of the world, men continue to worship the material things of life and prefer demons to deity and stone images to a Savior. God has forewarned men of this judgment upon idol worshipers. Therefore, let no man complain when God is true in his judgment. When men will not repent of sin, they must take the penalty for their sin. As the Apostle Paul said, they which commit such things are worthy of death. We see here that demon worship will continue. Demon worship is prevalent everywhere today where you and I, wherever we go, everyone who runs off to these faith healers, fortune tellers, are demon worshipers, and our churches are fast coming to idol worship. It doesn't have to be someone who reads your palm to be an idol. It doesn't have to be a wooden statue. No, my friend, you can worship your opinion. You can worship your pastor. You can worship somebody who has a lot of influence over you, and you just so hung up on those things, and that's worth demon worship, my friend. You know what we're to worship? The Lord. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, day in and day out. And I challenge you, my friend, to look around and see what you're worshiping. Are you worshiping a demon spirit? Everywhere we go today, we see the spirit of Antichrist coming on the scene. And these studies right here, and I want to mention all of them are in print if you'd like to have them. I'll be glad to send them to you, free and postpaid, if you're interested. I will, and later on they're going to be on CDs, and there'll be a small charge for those. But if you write me, I'll quote you a price on them. Now, we want to notice in the 21st verse, we have just a moment. Neither repented they of their murders, sorcerers, fornication, nor their theft. Herein is revealed the attitude of one towards another. They repented not of their murders. Oh, the predominant crime in our cities today, especially here in New Orleans. The daily newspaper screams of the killings, not primarily by gangsters anymore, like they used to be back in the roaring 20s, so to speak. But no, these are folks, mothers being killed by their husband and killing their children with them. And then fathers also by their college students and young people. Violence in filling the earth. And we can almost cry out in the words of our Lord, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's time now, my friend, to cry aloud and spare not. That's what the old trailblazers are doing. Day by day, I ask you, wake up. Don't get mad with me. Don't turn your radio off. Listen, this may be the last message you'll ever hear, and I'm asking you to search your heart, to ask you to make your calling and election sure. I don't have any axe to grind with you or with anyone else, my friend. All I ask is that you make your calling and election sure, and to take your head out of the sand, and to see where you're going to spend eternity. Eternity is soon coming upon us, my friend. If it be 100 years, that's soon. Oh, my friend, listen. We don't have time to waste, and then you while away your time. Don't do that. Don't do that. You young people living in sin, don't do that. Come on to the Lord while you're young, and you can trust the Lord and look to Him and work for Him. And I wish you would. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Remember my mailing address? The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.